should be on now.
Yep.
And then
here's
up?
Your. Oh, here's your mic.
We already got you one, girl.
Sweet.
So do you want to start out with, I know I said I was going to do the introduction, but do you want to start out why you're talking today?
Okay, so I don't know how. Okay, so basically, for like, oh golly, like 2 months, I had like this, like screaming basically in the back of my mind saying, hey, I really want you to preach on this. And I was saying, like, I am not doing that. I am not a public speaker. Like, I preached once for Youth Sunday. I am done for the rest of my life. I'm good. Thank you, though. And then Will preached on Youth Sunday, and I basically got slapped on the back of the head saying, no, you're doing this. And I said, okay, well, if nobody preaches on it till when Dad preaches, then I'll do it. It's fine. And if not, it's covered and I don't have to worry about it. And then no one preached on it, so now I'm here.
Yep, so that's how it all got started. She had some verses, a chapter in the Bible that really stood out to her, and she wanted to share what God had revealed to her, what God had told her about it. The interesting part is the songs we sang just sang of the glory, of the love, of the majesty of Christ and what He did in our lives, that He brought us into relationship with Him. The book of Romans, we talk about the Roman road. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of man to be saved. Don't know if I quoted that right or not. But he goes right through and just says how depraved the man is, how depraved we are in our own thoughts, in our own minds, and what we do. How glorious and supreme that Christ and God is, and what God did in order to bring us into that salvation. Romans screams it. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Son. He spends 11 chapters explaining, edifying, exhorting, glorifying God in what He's done with us. And then he comes to chapter 12. Chapter 12 switches it around. What is our response to this glory, to this majesty, to what God has done for us? How do we respond? And that's what Paul does. It says, and we'll start out, I think we're going to break it down and just to the various parts that they have. But think of that. Think of all of what God done, what Paul has just explained into Romans. Then he comes into 12 and says, therefore, because of all of this, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will.
So basically, it's like the title of it is like for that first section is called A Living Sacrifice. And like it talks about like how, like in the Old Testament, like how when you would sacrifice animals and whatnot to like worship God as like a sacrifice. Everyone knows what that means. And so it talks about presenting your body as a living sacrifice, and it doesn't mean to die for God, like hence the living part, but you should be willing to die for God. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be, but it's saying being a living sacrifice is being willing to listen to God and say, yes, I will do that when He asks you to do something. Basically just being willing to obey whatever He asks you, no matter how much you don't want to do it. He will get you to do it in the end. I can tell you that right now. it may take a while, but He will get you to do it in the end. So basically, since he will, like, ask you to do things, it's going to be catered to you. And, like, someone might say, like, oh, God asked me to do this by doing that. So then you wait and you listen for whatever they heard from God. But that's not going to be for you, because it's going to be catered to you, because he knows you. He knows how you work. He knows what you need to hear, what you need to do in order for you to do that thing. Just like, so I've done fair my whole life. This is my last year. And everyone that has done fair knows that when you work with your animals, and like the longer you work with them, you know how to hold the rope in order to get them to walk. You know how to get them to listen to you and follow you and just completely just like trust you. And that's what God does to us. He works with us and holds the rope, knowing that we will follow because he's holding it the right way, because it's catered to you.
At the end of, is that what you have for 1 through 2? Okay, you got it. I'm afraid her book's gonna fall. I shouldn't.
We're very coordinated. We went over this once.
You can read it if you want to.
Okay, so.
Let me pull it up.
I have my Bible right here.
Okay.
So, along with, like, following and, like, listening, it comes into like renewing your mind and just kind of like changing your mindset to being like not of the world and like focusing on the world, but focusing above the world and kind of like, I don't know, separating yourself from what is going on. So I have Philippians 4:8, so you guys can look it up, and note takers, you can write it down. By the way, we're in Romans 12 before that. Just saying that. Do you already have it up?
Oh, I can pull it up really quickly.
So do you want to read one, and do you want me to read one?
Okay, which one do you want me to read?
I'll read Philippians 4:8.
Okay.
You read the longer one.
Okay.
So, Philippians 4:8, I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and what he may encourage your hearts. Is that right?
Nope.
Oh, I'm in Colossians. I'm like, that doesn't sound
no,
right.
That's not right. You should know that one. Mom's drilled it in your head.
Okay. Anyways, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if anything is worthy of praise, think on these things. So basically, that tells you what to think about instead of thinking on the world and what the world has brought us and continues to throw at us. If we're in like a rut or whatnot, we can think on those things and be lifted back up out of the world.
Colossians 3:2-5. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is all idolatry. So, because of what God did with us, because of his mercies, that's what it's saying, because of the view of God's mercy, we are to present ourselves in such manner. And in order, like Amelia said, to present ourselves, so often we are caught up with the thoughts of this world. I mean, even this week, trying to do the sermon and study it, you're sitting there, you're looking through scriptures, you're looking through the Google and everything, finding information here and there, and a stupid little thing pops up, and you're going like, oh, a rabbit. That's cool. Or look at the little kitten. And you start watching these stupid videos, and the next thing you know, it's a half an hour later, and it's like, no. I let my mind stray. I let my mind go away from the calling that God has called me to and let the world take over, because the world is so attractive. And the goal is to set our minds on the things above. Set our minds on what God, transform our minds. Why is we transforming our minds? So that we can renew it, so that we can know God, and then we know the true, perfect will of God and worship Him. How do we know the will of God? We know the will of God only through faith. What good would us do if God said, Gabe, for your life, you're going to do A, B, C, and D? Where would your faith be? You would have no faith in that. So the will of God comes out as we act upon our faith. We act, God's will is revealed. We step out in things that we're not comfortable with, God's will is revealed. Because our mind is not set on what's going to happen here. Our mind is set on Christ and what He has done for me. It changes our whole perspective. It changes on what we're looking at, what our desire is. And we don't worry about the petty things around us, because it is faith that leads us on to see the will of God. How does He do that? He gives it by grace. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, and this is how we do it, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not always have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully.
So basically, a lot of the problems that us have is either we think of ourselves too highly, as it says, and we are like, oh, I can hear from God. Oh, I can talk to God. Oh, I'm a child of God, which are all true, but they hold themselves so high because they can do that, and they go to the people that can't do it yet and can't figure it out, and being like, oh, well, I can do this, and they don't teach them how to do it. They show the fact that they can do it and they brag about it. So then the people that can't, they think of themselves I can't talk to God like that. I don't have that relationship with God. I can't hear from Him like everyone else does. Everyone else can hear can hear His voice and just listen to Him, but I get nothing. And so they just stop trying because they're like, I could never get to that level. I'll never be able to be close to God no matter how hard I try. And that's the problem is we all compare ourselves. Everyone compares each other to everyone. That's the way the world is. Jealousy is such a huge thing in this world, and it's presents itself mainly in the younger people, because we look at each other so much more than ourselves and what is inside of us. And so we think so poorly of ourselves, or we think way too highly of ourselves, and we need to find that common ground, that middle ground that we all need to be on, because it's God that we should be looking up to, not ourselves and not other people. And so in the Bible, God goes through everything that we are And I will tell you some of the ones that we are, but I'm not going to go through all of them because then we'd be here all day. But he knows us because he created us. In the womb, he knows everything about us. He planned us before we were even a thought in our parents' minds. So he knows exactly what we are. He knows what we're going to be and how we're going to get there and when we're going to get there. So Jeremiah 1, 5 through 8.
Yeah. Nope, I can read it. I'll make sure I give him Jeremiah, though. Yeah. Jeremiah?
5 through 8.
Jeremiah 1, 5 through 8. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you and to whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord.
And, like, that doesn't just, like, apply to, like, the teenagers and, like, the young adults. That applies to everyone because we are all young in God's eyes and we are all young in our own eyes. You may not feel like it, but you are young, like, in God's eyes. You should think of yourself as a child because you are a child of God. So you need to remember who God says you are and what God tells you to be. So,
yep.
Because God knows us, he knows that we should know that he was never going to give us something we can't handle. So even if it feels like absolutely horrible and like it is the worst time in your life and you're just done, he knows that you can get over that. You just need a little bit of help. So by reminding yourself and clinging on to God, he will show you how you can get over it and who you are, and that is why you can get over it, because you're a child of God. He loves you. And you can do anything through Christ. So to go over the things that God says we are.
Do you have them written down?
No. They're in my little thing in my... You can just... You don't have to say the verses. You can just say what they say.
Okay. Yep. So... So the first one is that you are pure. It says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Another one is wherever it is. Where did it go? Okay. Found it. So this is pure part two, to prove that you are. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. And then the fact that you are lovely. You are altogether beautiful, my love. There is no flaw in you. And then you are loved. If I can find it, I know the verse, but it's okay. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And then you are redeemed. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and you are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as... thank you. What was it again? Propitiation. Thank you.
Thank you.
By his blood to be received by faith, this was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins.
and then you are forgiven. Bearing with one another, and if one has complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And the one that I feel is most important to remember, even though all of these are important to remember, I feel like this is the most important, is that you are welcome in God's home. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. So, yes, you are everything I just said. Every single one of you are everything I just said and more. But most importantly, you are all welcome in God's home. And there is a room set just for you that has everything you like in it, because God knows you, because he made you in the womb, and he has everything that you need, which is him. So by, like, stepping into who God wants you to be, you will step into the gifts that he has called you to be. And so by doing that, you will step into the part of the body that you have been designed to be, basically. So we all, because of Christ, we are all one body, and we should all connect with each other and connect the body together, because a body cannot be a body if it is all spread apart and everywhere that it shouldn't be. So.
Yes. So good job. Good job. So it is. Because of the fact that we have been transformed, and by faith we walk and find the will of God, knowing how God thinks helps us to think how we should think of ourselves. Like it says, not too highly, but also with sober judgment, means, like she said, not too lowly either. But the goal of all this is not necessarily for ourselves, but to extend that kingdom of God, so that that biga can be growing and maturing and getting flavorful and ready to go out and to perform different functions. By walking in faith in what God has called you to do, no matter how small, how large, it's all the same. If it's changing a light bulb for somebody, if it's working on animals, if it's doing HVAC, if it's taking care of your kid at home, if it's having to go out cuddling and trying to satisfy a child, that's all part of God's gifts, God's desire for you to walk out your faith and put that faith into actions so that others may hear the word and know the word of God. And the gifts that we do it with all your heart. If it's teaching, teach it. What I like in the one is, if it's showing mercy, do it cheerfully. How often when we show mercy, do we do it grudgingly? Like, oh, I have to do this again. No, it's through cheerfulness, through grace, knowing what God has done for us. So we see ourselves having to transform our minds from what this world says, so we get a whole different perspective on how to do this, think of ourselves correctly, and then start doing our gifts. But how do we do our gifts? That's what this last part of the chapter is about. I'll read it. We do our gifts by love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, not but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for the Lord's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, he will heap burning coals on his head. But do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
So I think that really just speaks for itself. I know that, like, going throughout, like, day to day, it can be hard to, like, follow that because people get on our nerves, like, a lot, at least mine. But I had that part of the verse, like the 9 through 21, I had that on my background of my phone for like a really long time, and my mom saw it and she goes, do you really need to be reminded of this every day? And I'm like, yes, I do. But by following that and knowing that, like, that is where we should be, I feel like it gives us something to strive for, because we all want to follow Christ and become and be one with God and just have him beside us at all times, but we don't know exactly where that is. I feel like this shows us a good, like, line to, like, strive for. It's not the top line, but it's a line that can be reasonable, that we can get to with God's help. And by getting to this line and basically being forgiving and being a vessel for God, it gives us to the fruit of the Spirit, which is what youth group has been doing for how long?
A few months.
And so by giving ourselves to God and being slow to anger and being comforting and willing and homely to every single person that we lay our eyes on, not just that we know, but that we see, we can become more like Christ, that is to our ability, and gain the fruits of the Spirit that'll stay with us till the day we die, because God will be with us till the day we die and thereafter, because we will be living with him instead of him living in us.
Do you have anything else?
I think that's very good. You did good. So yes, so I think you did really good there. So we treat others, as this says, because everyone that we see, everyone that we know, are either currently or going to be, hopefully, part of the body of God. And you wouldn't destroy your own hand, so don't destroy someone else that's the body of God. You wouldn't hurt your own self, so don't hurt another body of the God, of God's family, because we are one body. What we do affects the whole body of Christ. So we want to be patient. We want to rejoice. We want to mourn, as we did with the McDonald's this last week. Like we do with the Sloans, even though we don't know them. We mourn for the loss of those that they love. We rejoice with Jenna and Michael and the bringing in of the new life. And Declan. I'm not going to get it right before they get here. You know? And we show mercy, like to the girl that Anna talked about, being the arms and feet of Christ out in the world, walking and just running into somebody, but yet changing a life 180 degrees with one meeting, one word, one spoken word of Christ to that lady has turned her world around. And we pray that she continues to walk, that God has gripped her, and she continues to move forward in that new identity that she has found in Christ. So in light of everything that God has done to us, our job is to praise His name, worship Him by walking in faith. Not so much by singing songs. You worship God by walking in faith and doing what He calls us to do. Oh, to have the desire that I see in Elliot sometimes when she wants something. She wants something so bad that she sits there and tries to get out of your arms to get to what she wants. How much do I want that for God? That I'm willing to drop everything and move everything aside just to reach God and what He's doing. To have that zeal of a child, to have that desire to want God that much. Oh, could it be in our lives that we can be a living sacrifice to Him who saved us? This week as you go out, think about how can I walk out this faith? How can I let these things that God has given me speak words of truth, life, and hope to someone else, that their life may be changed, someone else in the body, that we may rejoice with Christ in the end, when He returns in all of His glory. Father, we praise You and we worship You of what You've done for us. Father, our hearts are just overwhelmed with gratitude for the grace You have shown and Your mercies. Let us be that living sacrifice to You, holy and acceptable to You, Father, which is just the reasonable service, just the most common, the most easiest, the very thing that we just need to do because of what You've done. And we praise Your name. Be with us this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Good job, Mia. A spider web on my pants. Now you feel better?
No.
But you're released.
I'm sorry, this is my last time at church.
Oh, you got it?
Yep.
I'm sorry, that's worth it. You don't get picked on by Gabe once.
She is wiggly today. She's tired. You did good. Hey, you did great. I didn't really have to say anything. I'm sorry. You did great.